Hello, welcome to another edition of the Data Dialogue Podcast. I'm Mike Fuller, Regional Director of Marketing at InterSystems. In today's episode, I'm joined by my colleague, John Payne, Manager of Sales, Engineering and Education at InterSystems. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. It's great to be here again.
In this podcast, we're talking about the exciting trends and developments discussed at this year's Gartner Data and Analytics Summit in London. I think, like me, John, you found it great to be back at a real, live, in-person event where we could exchange ideas about data and analytics, get involved in discussions, and connect with some of our peers. True?
Absolutely. It's fantastic to be out meeting people in person again at an event where we can really talk about topics that are interesting to us all.
Talking about topics, let's start by talking about data. One of the most interesting points to emerge from the summit, for me, was whether it's time for us to row back slightly from big data. Is it time to think less about volume and a little more about simply having the right quantity of data for the task in hand?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that was a key theme at the event, but it certainly is a challenge that we've been helping our customers tackle for quite some time now. Whether you're taking it from a standpoint of, you know, the traditional data warehouses, which have just grown and grown and eventually formed a data swamp, but also the growing volume of data from other sources of different types, different velocities, different amounts of relevance to solving a problem. There's often a feeling that you need to get all the information to get a complete picture or the most accurate insight. And really, I think what we need to focus on is ensuring that people have the right information. And I think business leaders particularly should never really underestimate the power of small data. The smallest, the minimum data set required for what we want to achieve, for the decision that we need to make, for the relevant problem that we need to solve. And indeed, you know, that's one of the challenges or problems that businesses know they face, the need to use data to drive innovation across an organization. But the way in which the cloud generates and consumes and stores increasingly vast amounts of data has created bad habits. You know, frankly, we've all become greedy. We've all been trying to accumulate as much data as possible without really understanding how we're going to use it or where we're going to use it or the context that we are looking to use it within. And from that perspective, I think we, you know, it's time for us to start to say, well, let's guide ourselves, let's guide our users to the right data that they need at the time of making a decision, not just enabling a fire hose of information, because then it ceases to become information and just becomes noise, becomes indiscriminate pieces of ones and zeros, but instead provide the right information in the right way so that the correct analytics can provide actions or guide people to make actions in a timely manner and in a way that solves operational problems, rises to the challenges that businesses are facing these days, and moves away from the horizontal data pipelines, the horizontal silos, if you wish, that have occurred increasingly in sort of the modern cloud-based architectures where you see different pipelines consuming disparate data sets, and pulling that together in a way that's meaningful becomes increasingly hard. But the need to do that is, if anything, more relevant today than it used to be, because managing systemic risk, managing operational risk, managing regulatory risk in a world where significant events happen rapidly is becoming, you know, even more important. So augmenting the decision-making process with analytics, providing information, accelerate the ease with which people can make decisions is really, I think, the crux of the matter.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think as we manage the context, the purpose, the meaning of the data, the term data concierge comes up, and it's an interesting one. But of course, we're seeing a growing desire for the data to be at the fingertips of all users, which can only be delivered by facilitating that sharing of data. At the conference, we repeatedly heard from speakers over the 3 days that the goal must be to create a business strategy that is infused with data analytics, not just a data strategy or an analytics strategy. Is that a view or a set of distinctions that you share?
I think so, because what's the purpose of a data strategy if it's not focused on delivering real benefits into an institution? There has to be not only the alignment of goals and objectives, but there has to be an alignment in the way that those goals and objectives are achieved. And so being able to not only control and manage the data that flows through an organisation, but to exploit it and use it in a way that is meaningful and relevant is integral to, you know, the reason for doing that. And we see that in the sort of successful data-driven organisations, in the ones where they really do manage to exploit data in a dynamic way. Whether they're institutions that have started out as being internet-based, or whether they're, you know, multinationals that are managing their supply chain more readily and more effectively, as they can take action based on real-time data about events that are going on around the world. Well, I think the foundation of it really is people within the organisation understanding what data really means, what data really is. I guess you could call it data literacy if you wish. And by that, you know, talking about being familiar with the different types of data, being familiar with what they mean, and therefore understanding what insights can be gained from different types of data or different data sets. Therefore, what decisions could be driven from those insights? And that's, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, really, isn't it? Assuming that your organization understands the importance of good quality data and understands where and how that quality data can influence the outcomes of how the business operates, then it becomes much easier within an organization to bring that data together, to generate insights, and also to look for additional ways to take advantage of that data, to do more research into correlated effects that might be apparent within the data. Data should be shared across an organization, not restricted to or hoarded within departments or silos. So this idea of data literacy really goes down, you know, the fundamentals of how an institution operates or an organization operates, and comes back to the idea that data is open, data is understandable, everybody should have access to that data, not just people in specific roles seeing specific views of information. And that culture, if you wish to call it that, starts from the top. You know, the chief data officer should be setting or describing the policy and the purpose within which data is viewed and consumed within an organization. But once that direction is defined and articulated by the chief data officer, then it becomes the role and responsibility of really everybody within that organization. Look at how they can not just work more effectively, how they can better augment the processes and decision making that they're undertaking, but also then look for the next challenge, look for the new challenge, look for how the business can be truly become data driven. And I'm very much in favour of evidence-based decision-making in any sort of context. And the more data-driven an organisation is, the more that decisions are based, made on facts that have become apparent through the data that flows through an organisation. I think it's very true that that organisation will then become more resilient, because it's actually being shaped and behaviour within that is being modified based on what's actually happening, on facts that are driving towards specific goals. You know, so you're viewing the information in the context of what it is your organization wants to achieve, and making decisions about how to change the behavior of your organization based on the sight of those goals and what you need to do to get to them in a changing world. And so where you have this large proportion of employees within an organization who understand what data is, who understand what information is, who understands the relevance of clean data to effective decision making, you get to the point where you can make the right decisions more quickly.
Okay, so in the process of increasing data literacy, you're really saying if a company, an organization is going to be data driven, it's about culture, it's about behavior, it's about inclusivity, it's about a business agenda, not data for data's sake, driven by a technical agenda. So I think that that's clear. But as business leaders, you know, what do they need to consider as the right amount of data to solve a specific need? What do they do when they look at the need for this increase in data literacy to make the best use of it? That's really important, but there remains a major challenge. How do we bring all this data together, managing it and rendering it useful so that users can extract those insights that enable them to make better decisions? I expect you, like me, noticed how the value of having a data fabric came to the forefront of the discussions at the summit. This is an approach that aligns very closely to what we've been saying at InterSystems for a long time, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I think there's a couple of threads that you've just alluded to there, Mike. I mean, I think one is the development of the awareness of data within an organization, and there's some good examples of that that we can go back to if you wish. But then, yes, this idea of a data fabric, of a way of managing and coordinating the flow of information around an organization and connecting the different parts of an organization that either create or consume information in different formats and different styles and different types. A really significant area where a data fabric brings benefit is when you start particularly to look at connecting those places where data is at rest within organizations. In any sort of big enterprise, you have many different systems, you have many different databases, data lakes, data marts, data warehouses that could be widely geographically dispersed. And being able to provide the connective tissue which coordinates the flow of information between these points where data is at rest enables people to understand that data that is flowing around an organization really makes a big difference to enabling the organization to automate a lot of the work that hitherto has gone into sort of really being able to gain that picture of where they are. So a great example is one company that we were talking to recently. I mean, they need to produce their annual carbon report. And they do that on an annual basis because it takes them 3 to 4 months for an army of accountants to go around and bring all the data together, because they have to go and get it from so many different places in a, you know, big multinational that actually encompasses maybe 100 or 200 or 300 different companies in different geographies. It's a major issue. And talking to them about how we can help them connect these different elements, these different silos, these different data sources within an organization to enable them to more easily see that flow of data and capitalize on that flow of data within an organization to be able to generate that sort of insight into the way the organization is working much more rapidly, much more quickly, is something that everybody wants to do. And the fact that you can do this in a way which is neutral to the technology that you're currently using, whether it's on-premise or in cloud or in a variety of different locations, the data fabric enables you to bring all these elements together, to give you that connective tissue, to enable you to make a much more cohesive whole out of the information that flows round an organization without the need to sort of disrupt what you have, without the need to rip and replace systems which have been there potentially for some time, provide a lot of benefit, but equally would be extremely expensive and risky to look at replacing. And so I think if we're trying to sort of bring this to a key close, I think we can see that a data fabric really is a major element helping businesses to reorient themselves, to really sort of help them bootstrap themselves into the new era in terms of helping them understand, coordinate, take better advantage of the information assets that are within an organization and take away a lot of the sort of distractions and pain points in gaining access to that data and starting to apply analytics to it, because a data fabric makes that easy and rapid to do. it then means that the organization can move to focusing on actually, well, what are those insights? And let's worry about taking action on those insights rather than, well, let's spend all our time getting hold of the data. And by the time we've got it, it's too old to actually give us any benefit.
Okay. As the understanding of data fabric increases, and it's obviously a significant trend, understanding systems have devised a smart data fabric. Can you explain to our audience how this takes the concept forward of data fabric and why businesses ought to be interested in this approach?
Yes, yeah, certainly, Mike. It's an interesting evolution of the sort of the original sort of data fabric concepts. And really, whilst a data fabric is aimed around simplifying and accelerating access to the data assets within an institution or an organization, the idea of a smart data fabric is to take this one stage further by taking the analytic capabilities to the data, not take the data to the analysis. And therefore, you're not having to ship it. You're not having to perform ETL, you know, extract, transform, and load operations. You can gain access and can exploit and explore that data much more readily because the data fabric gives you the ability to apply those analytic techniques to gain that analytic insight from the data where it is within or the institution already, where it most natively fits, rather than saying we have to pull the data out into this, you know, into yet another data warehouse or analytics platform to be able to make some sort of sense of it. You know, this is the heart of the connective tissue idea, really, because you're connecting the silos, you're distributing the analytic capabilities to the data elements within the institution, facilitating the communication between those, and from that network of meaningful analysis, you then start to really deliver the augmented insight into operations, requirements, needs within an institution. That means that everybody can have access to those insights, that everybody can look at and take advantage of ways to enhance the work that they're doing by being more data-driven, by being more timely, by making decisions that are more relevant. And this, this removes layers of organisation. It reduces operational complexity for an institution because you don't need the intermediate layers and you don't need those processes and people and systems which worry about solving that gap between different silos, different organisations, different ways of operating within an organization, because the smart data fabric gives you that interoperability, that data liquidity as it moves around an institution in a way that previously really hasn't been there.
John, that sounds really rich. I mean, pragmatic, business anchored, but a rich set of possibilities. And of course, we're better to discuss this kind of thing than at the Gartner Data and Analytics Summit. So obviously, it makes a big difference to understand the insight from the data insider that you have, your vast hands-on experience and technical knowledge. So thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure the audience will have found this discussion very useful. So thank you. For those who want to explore in more detail the topics we've been talking about, you should visit our website. There's a wealth of content and information on there and the people to contact. So many thanks for listening. I hope you'll look out for our next episode of the Data Dialogue podcast. Bye for now.